What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Akins with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Akin, and joining me today is the man who's been making the same trip to the retreat center for 20 years, the good deacon, Scott Akin.
Every Lent, we have an opportunity to go up to the Palisades and the Archdiocese of Seattle, and as not only deacons, but deacon spouses are welcomed. And so we have a large gathering that happens there, and it's just one of the times that we get to recharge as deacons. You know, the diaconate is somewhat of a conundrum to both the laity and to the priesthood. So when we come together as deacons, we can really shore each other up and give each other renewed energy that we need.
While we are here recording in Portland, of course, you and I live on the north side of the Columbia River in Vancouver. That makes us part of the Archdiocese of Seattle. So we head north always, and we are not close. It's a few hours for us to get up the road north and over to the Palisades, especially when you consider the traffic that we almost always hit as we move through Olympia and then into Tacoma and Federal Way. It's a wonderful opportunity, though, for us to sit and talk, just you and I in a car together driving down the road. Over the years, I can't even count the number of times that you and I have made that trip and takes us around through Tacoma, but we always manage to find new things to see, a new restaurant to eat. But you're right, to be able to come together, we have grown so close with the other deacons and their wives. It's like another family. And we ask about how they are doing. We ask about their losses and we celebrate with them and we cry together. But it's almost like, too, Scott, that retreat center holds a memory, right? So when we get back together, we can remember when our kids were so little and we'd find their shoes, you know, kicked off as they ran up the stairs to the second floor. Or we sit in the chapel and I look at the altar and I remember the time when we baptized our son there with all of the other deacons when he was born during your formation. It's amazing how a building like that can hold a memory. I think that we should look at all of our churches that way. Our church holds our memory, and not just in our time, but you think about the different generations of people come there also.
I get a mixed set of emotions. I get excitement because I'm here again, and I love the place, and I love the people we're going to meet. I also get a little bit unnerved because I get a sense of a little bit of PTSD. Because there was a lot of stress that went with formation and as we raised the kids. And I'm grateful God just gave so much graces to that. But it is a challenge to learn all that we have to learn and to do well at that, because we're serving with that knowledge. And I don't regret any of that, but it just get a little reaction when you remember that you had to go and take oral exams and tests. And those are memories that give me contrast and context to my life, to our lives, and to our family's life.
It is difficult to look at a journey in its entirety, especially when you are right in the middle of it, when you were in formation. But now looking back over all of the years, you recognize the value in the struggle, right? And what you were able to accomplish and learn and be guided by so many wonderful men and women who were your instructors. It is a little bit like a Lenten journey. Now, we're all traveling through this Lenten season, this time in the desert, so that way we can celebrate time of Easter. And that leads us to today's show. I had a wonderful opportunity to visit with Deacon Justin Echevarria. He, of course, is one of the seminarians who is now a transitional deacon who is studying in Rome. He joined me to share a little bit about what it's like to journey through Lent in Rome.
And then after that, we'll come back to share a little bit about how we prepare as family and as community here in the Portland, Vancouver area for the Easter season as it comes upon us.
So stay with us. We got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew.
Please join me, Father Peter Julia, the Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon, in praying the Our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Peter Julia, the Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon. To learn more about discerning your vocation, please visit archdpdxvocations.org. That's archdpdxvocations.org.
One of the many ways you can help Mater Dei Radio is by supporting our Leadership Circle members. These are businesses and organizations whose names you hear on the air every day. They believe in our mission of providing the region with positive Catholic radio programs. Our Leadership Circle members keep our broadcast strong through their financial generosity. How can you find out more about our Leadership Circle members? Go to our website at materdeiradio.com and click on the Get Involved menu. You'll be learning about a great group of people.
Family life can be hectic, but God can be found right in the middle of it. So take a moment for this week's View from the Pew.
Three traditional pillars of Lent are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And through these three pillars of Lent, we journey to develop a closer relationship to God. Now, the 40 days of Lent should be filled with reflection, service, and prayer. And every year, we all should enter this season of Lent with hope and new anticipation of Easter. But for some, this Lent takes on a special feel as they journey not only to Easter, but to ordination of the priesthood. It is always a good morning when we welcome to the show Deacon Justin Echevarria, joining us as he experiences Lent in Rome. As you enter into this Lenten season, the last one prior to your priestly ordination, have you taken up a special practice or offered up something in sacrifice so that way this is a Lent like no other?
Like many people, I'll give up something. So for example, this year I've maybe not given up completely, but I've cut back on drinking a lot of coffee.
Okay.
Things like that, but also taking things on more intentionally this year, particularly to prepare for priesthood. So for example, half an hour before I go to bed, I shut off my electronics so I can pray and also do some more spiritual reading. The last thing I read before I go to bed and close my eyes is something about the Lord. Or in this case, I'm actually reading currently, my brother, shout out to my brother, Alex, for Christmas, he gave me this book by Fulton Sheen. It's called The World's First Love, Mary, the Mother of God. It was written by Fulton Sheen in the 50s. And he actually, of all the books he had written, it was his favorite. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm reading right now. It's like a Lenten practice. And then on Fridays of Lent, I've been practicing fasting, but fasting with a specific intention. So for a family member who is maybe going through a difficult time right now, or friends who've asked me to pray for them.
Well, again, such wonderful practices. We forget how powerful those sacrifices are. And especially when you make them in intention for something, then it feels like this suffering that I'm going through, this little hunger pain, so to speak, is offered. Mm-hmm. And God takes those up and blesses those that you do those for. You there are in Rome for throughout this year, and we've been following you as you journey towards the priesthood. Now, there in Rome or at the Vatican, is there just kind of a special feel or unique opportunities that can be experienced at the Vatican?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a blessing to be over here is your closeness. Physically, we're only 10 minutes walking from the Vatican. So you're you're close to Pope Francis. You can go, you know, to St. Peter's itself to pray before many of the popes who are buried there, including, you know, Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, St. Peter. But then also, you know, the city, it's, you know, it really is the eternal city, as it's, you know, nicknamed. I mean, you are walking with the saints. You're encountering such rich history. Just walking I walked to class and I walked by a church that might have a saint there, or you're walking by, you know, remnants of, you know, one of the most influential empires of the Western world. So it's a lot of great opportunities there.
Deacon Justin, for you and your classmates there at the university, you also have an opportunity. You were telling me as we were preparing for our interview that you can go to different parishes each week to celebrate and to, you know, have a prayerful Lenten season. What, tell us about that.
Yeah, so a very unique experience here during Lent, and the schedule, the life of the North American College significantly changes. So usually during the year, you know, we get up early to pray together, have Mass, and then we begin our day. But in Lent, we participate in a very special ancient tradition, like ancient as in it goes back to maybe second or third century Christianity. So this is like the 200s AD, where bishops, and this is back during the age of persecutions, probably in hiding, would visit different churches in the city of Rome. Now we call this tradition the station church, the station churches. So that it's basically each day there's a different station to go to. And what we do now is we get up early, we make basically a small pilgrimage to these churches each day. So it's an option in the morning that if you want to go to these station churches, and usually one of the priests who's studying here from the North American College will be signing up to be the celebrant of these churches. And some of these churches actually are only open during this time of Lent. Like you can't access them any other time during the year. So it really is an, you know, opportunity. So for example, the first one we always go to for Ash Wednesday is called Santa Sabina. It was built in the 400s. So it's a church from the late Roman Empire. And it has one of the first depictions of the crucifixion on its doors. St. Sabina is buried there. But that's how we kick off Ash Wednesday. Another church, for example, is San Lorenzo. So it's a church dedicated to St. Lawrence. He was a deacon and martyr, one of the Roman martyrs in the early church. And you can go to Mass in the church. Beautiful, beautiful church. And you can go beneath. It just really makes the saints and the city, you're walking among history of the church. It really is a huge blessing.
Deacon Justin, we all have these beautiful celebration and pilgrimages here within our own churches, but boy, to be able to share just a little bit about your journey as Lent begins there in Rome, what a very beautiful and special opportunity that you've had. And thank you so much for sharing with us. Deacon, this is the perfect opportunity, these weeks of Lent, to really enter into and prayerfully just experience this Lenten season in a unique opportunity and ways. And many people do that by going on retreat. Our Archbishop Alexander Sample journeyed with you on a Lenten retreat. Share with our listeners a little bit about that experience.
So we just finished our final exam period. The semesters kind of work differently overseas, but basically, traditionally, the Portland men, we travel as a diocese. After finals, you have a bit of a break before the second semester begins. And we'll go somewhere here in Europe. And it's been a relatively newer tradition that the Archbishop, that he'll join us. And this year, we also had Father Peter Julia as well. And so it was a group of seven men. And we went to France to visit with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Archbishop Sample has a very huge devotion to her. We got to go to where she's buried, and we had Mass there. So he gave a very powerful homily, and we actually got to pray for an hour before her body that morning. So it was a mix of, we went to Lisieux, and then we did Normandy. So kind of a mix of a spiritual pilgrimage and also a World War II, you know, honoring the fallen journey as well. So we got to be together. We got to go pray with St. Thérèse, encounter her in this beautiful French town, this little countryside town. And it was a great time to just spend with each other's brothers and with our spiritual father. So we had a nice, we stayed at an Airbnb that had a kitchen. So every day we'd leave for a full day to go see Lisieux, or we go to Normandy. And then we would come back in the evening. And usually what would happen is we'd stop at a grocery store, get supplies. We'd cook dinner, have kind of like a family dinner together. And then we had a fireplace. So actually Archbishop Sample would build a fire. And we basically, we shut off the lights. We'd put some candles out. We had the fire and we'd all just sit and chat. It was just really a wonderful time. And then in the meantime, during this time, Archbishop Sample would meet with each guy one-on-one just to check in. How are you doing? Of course, in particular for men like Deacon Brent Derschmidt and myself, it was a check-in, but also talking about ordination and, you know, how right. do we feel about everything and how are things going?
Wow, how wonderful to be able again to get away from those regular requirements, to step away from the busyness of the city, and then just, I can't imagine a better place to retreat than the burial site of St. Therese of Lisieux. Now, we've been talking about different ministries, and we know that during your pastoral year here, when you were back in Oregon, you were at Christ the King, but while you are there in Rome, you are also given a ministry, a group that or a parish that you attend. And to tell our listeners about what your assignment is there.
I was given the opportunity to work at a parish on a U.S. Air Force base in northern Italy. So in a place called Aviano. The parish itself is the St. Joseph based parish community that happens to be on an Air Force base. And just an incredible opportunity to basically serve those who serve our country. But when you're on the base, it just feels like regular parish ministry that just happens to be on a base. So this weekend I'm going up again. We're part of a team. We rotate. So everyone goes one weekend a month and we just schedule who goes, and we go at least in pairs, sort of like how the disciples were sent off in twos. And, this weekend I'm going up to help with the confirmation retreat at the parish. And then a month later, I'll be back there to help with to deacon the confirmation mass. And we also do things like RCIA or OCIA, catechism. We also try to have theology on tap. We try to even do just like fun outings. Like there's mountains nearby, so take some parishioners to go sledding. And then usually in the evening, sometimes we'll get together with parishioners, families that'll host us. And some of these families, maybe like one or two members of the one or two of the parents are active duty airmen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're families who have no military connection. They're contractors. So that work on the base. And actually one family that we're going to go have dinner with this Friday, the mother's from Oregon. We're going to go with this family. We're going to meet up with them. And she is a math teacher at the school on base, and her husband is a soldier on the base.
Okay.
They have two kids. So they're a very active, fun family. And that's just one example of the people we get to encounter in this unique ministry.
Well, I think that is just a great reminder to all of us that we think about our own parish in our own part of the world, but you're a perfect example of sharing how that experience, as wonderful as it is, well, it's experienced around the world. The universality of our Catholic faith can be seen in every corner of the world. Well, Deacon Justin, it's been just such a wonderful morning to be able to talk with you. Before we go, as we move through Lent and into the springtime, what big events do you have coming up on your own calendar?
Yeah, so actually most immediately to prepare for priestly ordination, the deacons this coming Holy Week, we're going to go on what's called our canonical retreat. So according to canon law, a priest is to go on a retreat every year, which is good. Get away, pray, yep. Recharge. Mm-hmm. And specifically for us, this one is catered to preparing for the priesthood. And we're actually going to have it in the town of Assisi. So it'll be great to be there. And that's where I learned Italian. So it's kind of like I'm finishing where I began. And it's great to be able to pray with St. Francis and St. Clair, Blessed Carlo Acutis, St. Rufinus, who was the first bishop in the Roman Empire period. Just a really holy city. So I have that coming up. Then still working on my plans for the Triduum. But we'll have a two-week break for Holy Week and Easter. So definitely some time to rest. And then in the meantime, I've just been getting ready. So it's incredible. It's just, wow. Filled with a lot of gratitude and a lot of joy.
how exciting that we all are for you and just to be able to journey with you over these last few years as you become who God always intended you to be. And it is just such a great morning to have you on with us. Deacon Justin, before we go this morning, can you end us in prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be able to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I ask that you bestow your graces on all who are working at Mater Dei and the work that they do in evangelization, as well as for all those who are listening today. Fill them with the graces they need. Fill them with a spirit of joy, of gratitude, of encouragement, especially when we may have stumbled from our Lenten promises, to just get back on track because you're a God of justice and mercy. Please bless everyone in the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon. And we ask all of this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Deacon Justin, thank you so much for your time today. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Lent.
You as well.
Scott, recently on the Morning Blend, I had an opportunity to talk with Father Peter Julia. He is the vocations director here in the Archdiocese of Portland. And he talked about those students and Deacon Justin who are studying there from Rome. And he said, you know, it sounds romantic, but he said, studying in Rome, those seminarians and those that are becoming priests, it is not the romantic experience that other people have. They're not there on vacation, and it's a very rigorous time, especially during Lent, because they have evaluations coming up. To be able to talk with Deacon Justin and recognize that he is on that journey, that time that is going to lead him to the priesthood, God willing, in June, similar to what you were going through with a diaconate. It's a wonderful opportunity, but it is difficult for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that what the priests go through is more rigorous. They're being prepared to become pastors. For the deacon, we were able to do ours on long weekends. They were packed weekends. That's part of why I had some of the reaction I did when we pulled into the Palisades this last time, because it is a commitment for that weekend. But I can only imagine that when you're there in Rome, it is your job. It is your full-time job, both in the classroom and the study. And so how much time do you have free after you've done Liturgy of the Hours, you've prayed, you've done all the responsibilities that you have as a seminarian on top of your education? Yeah, I bet there's just windows of time, and they probably are precious to them when they can go out and see the city, see the sites, visit the sacred areas that we hold so valuable to our faith. Yeah, that would be challenging to try to squeeze all that into the big plate of work they have to do.
For all of us, we might be struggling through our Lenten journey. We're more than halfway through that mark. And at the end of March, boy, we will have a very big week in Holy Week that begins with Palm Sunday. And then as we move through that Easter Triduum, it can be challenging, even for us in just our own small way. But I do feel like that is a one way, again, in our small way, that we can link what this journey is meant to be for all of us, that we have this time in the desert, that there are times that we struggle, but we know that, well, Easter is coming, the sunrise is coming, and that suffering is a part of life. And there's so much that we learn about ourselves, about our surroundings, and especially about our relationship to God when we do align that suffering to that of Christ on the cross.
Yeah, and I, you know, just thinking of what Deacon Justin is going through, that he's having to learn in an environment that could be so much distraction. to what his responsibility is. And I think that just represents when we enter into the Lenten season, as we try to hold to what we have committed, the distractions come in and can draw us away from our commitments if we're not being mindful. So having an awareness that we're not doing this as a means to gain God's favor. We're not doing this as a means to get reward. We're doing this as a means to become more aware of God's presence in our lives. And I think that when we look at it like that, then it gives us courage, gives us the ability to let me just lean back into that commitment a bit more. So right now at this halfway point, this is a good time to just maybe spend some reflection time. If you do that in the evening, great. If you don't, maybe consider doing that and just reflect on how have I engaged in my Lenten commitments and what has that directed my mind towards that it wasn't at the beginning. So my Lenten practices certainly give me focus more to doing scriptural and theological reading. I made that commitment. I was going to do that at the beginning of the year, and I really have leaned into that this Lent as a means to try and just set electronic things aside and focus on that.
Oh, and for all of us, as part of our spiritual preparation for the Easter season during this time of Lent, remember especially our priests who will be preparing for Holy Week, our deacons who will be assisting them, and most especially our transitional deacons and seminarians who journey towards their ordination. Before we end, Scott, will you end us in prayer?
Yes. Lord, we thank you for your presence around us always, and that we can be made more aware through our Lenten commitments. Help us to continue to lean into those. Help us to be encouraged when we lose sight of that, and help us to be merciful when we step away, that we may come back trusting that you are there like the Father to hug the Son in the prodigal story. We ask your blessing upon us this week. We ask us all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share more stories about our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
God bless and have a great week.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdayradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.